Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code podcast at grunes.co. That's code podcast at grunes.co.
Hi there, welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS.
What do all those S's stand for?
I'm not going to get into it. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth before it was called Lumen Field. He's Spokane Brandon. Good morning.
Hi. I can't believe we still do this.
This podcast?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been forever. Full disclosure, we're doing another program right now. Brandon does all this for free, so he's very nice like that. But we're doing another program right now called Nerd Talk Plus, and it's a you-have-to-listen-to-it-live thing on the Odyssey app, which makes it very challenging sometimes. But 10 a.m. on Tuesdays, if you want to hear us talk about nerdy stuff appropriately instead of talking about it here, out of context, then that's the way to do it. 10 a.m. Odyssey app that's spelled with an A. You figure it out. And get it downloaded to your phone now or watch our socials.
Yeah, last week I talked about a gray seal riding shotgun on a jetpack bike that can go apparently 150,000 feet in the air. Sorry, 15,000 feet in the air.
A rocket motorcycle. I didn't understand it at the time that it was co-pilot. I thought it was just a seal piloting a rocket motorcycle 15,000 feet in the air at 300 miles an hour. Dude, the crash, imagine what that smells like.
it smells like putting a salmon through a jet engine and fire grid into a team's bench.
Do us a quick solid and click on to Apple Podcasts, giving us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Jan Jose to Shalry Joseph.
I picked Jan Jose.
Jan Jose, yeah, that guy. Or girl, I don't know. We did get a new review today. This is from earlier this month. We haven't had a chance to read it out on the podcast yet. So this is from Jay Spav on iTunes. Thank you for leaving us a review. Definitely 5 stars. You did it. Nice. Jay Spav says, "Funny boners."
You could have just written that. I would have been so happy.
You could have stopped there, and I am 100% cool. They say, always a good laugh from professional talkers, Gregor and Brandon, which, as Gregor said earlier, I do this for free, so not a professional.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. He says, or they say, favorite former Sounders player, Zach Scott.
And don't hate favorite, that.
Favorite future Sounders player, Kim Griffith. Which would, a while back, we asked everybody to name my future baby. And they said another fantastic gender-neutral child name derived from the one and only Kim Ki-hee.
I know I'm not supposed to say this, but if your baby comes out Korean, definitely Kim, okay?
Well, first of all, I'm going to have a lot of questions. Second of all, no, 100%, no, just skip. 100% going to be Kim.
Yeah, just skip right past those questions, buddy. It's not worth it, okay?
I'm going to say to my wife, you know what, Catherine? You owe me this.
Speaking of funny boners, here's an odd headline from Gizmodo.com. Freaky penis snakes have finally made it to the U.S., and of course they chose Florida.
Freaky penis snake is also happens to be Donald Trump's penis.
Or the name of Brandon's sex tape.
Yeah, that too.
That's the guy, that's the Korean guy who is responsible for your baby.
So my I was at my brother Steven, who is calling himself the unofficial intern of Full 90 Podcast. He got married over the weekend, last weekend. And
hey, congrats.
Yeah, good job, Steven. Congrats on the sex. So I got to see a lot of my family that I haven't seen in a while. And since the last time I saw my sister, she has gotten a lot more tattoos. Okay.
Whoa.
And she doesn't listen to this podcast. I've seen some
Smart.
Of the, I've seen, yeah. So I feel okay saying some of the stuff behind her back. she got this one tattoo, which is like, and she's, you know, she's Gen Z. She's 10 years younger than me. I don't understand half the stuff that she talks about or does.
Yeah.
One of these tattoos is a skull with a slug coming out of it, but the slug 1,069% looks like a penis. I was like, hey, what is that? And I was like, is it a, and I was, as I was about to say penis, she said, it's a slug. And I was like, oh yeah, totally. Uh-huh. That's
obviously,
what I was going to say.
Do that. What were you thinking?
Yeah. So, my mom does listen to this podcast. So sup, mom.
Your sister, like the sweet ballerina turned yeah. lots of tattoo haver. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, this week, the last time I watched, they were great. Sounders FC take on the who even f***ing knows Jan Jose.
Oh, Jan Jose. It's gonna be a weird one.
Sounders played 3 matches in 7 days, and we get it. Listen, we've also been crushed by the effort it takes to produce 0 podcasts in 16 days. So, I mean, we get it, guys. You're probably tired, and, you know, the team was looking pretty thin. But, hey, if anyone understands effort, over a prolonged period of time, it's us.
It's totally us.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah. Like it's funny because you could have gone on vacation for a week in a place where you have no television and no access to the internet.
Yeah, I did that.
Oh, you did. Where were you?
Yeah, I was out at Copalis.
I don't.
We went
even
out to
know
the.
That
we
is.
Went out to the Washington coast. You know where Ocean Shores is?
Yeah.
The less trashy version of that, about 15 minutes north, is where we were at. Don't get me wrong. I love Ocean Shores, but it is very New Jersey of Washington.
It's the Jersey Shore of Washington. When you came back from that, you have missed 3 matches.
Okay, so, Brandon, let's assume that someone out there has been stressed out beyond belief, on vacation, mentally unavailable, and is completely unaware that anything outside their own bubble is even happening. Just assume that, okay? Yeah, just a premise.
Sure.
Is anything going on in the soccer world?
No. Like what? No, nothing.
Okay.
No,
okay,
the Sounders played 3 matches.
Yeah.
And they, if you would have gone into that vacation thinking, oh, the Sounders are on their best start ever, broke the MLS record for the unbeaten start to a season, are playing incredibly well without Nico Ladero, without, you know, an injured Will Bruin, Nuhu Tolo, Stephen Fry, like all of these guys who are injured, and the Sounders are doing great. You would have come back to, it would be like that that GIF of, or GIF, however you want to say it, of Troy from Community walking into the room with pizza and everything's on fire. Because since you've been gone, poor Kelly Clarkson, $200,000 a month.
Doesn't she have her own show?
Yeah, she does. But did you hear about her whole having to pay spousal support to her ex-husband $200,000 a month?
What?
Yeah, it's that's for our other podcast, Kelly Clarkson Today.
Yeah.
So since you've been gone, the Sounders have lost 2 matches, and somehow with 5 teenagers on the field, actually eventually 6 teenagers total, beat Austin 1-0. So, but they've now lost 2 matches. The Sounders' unbeaten record to the season has ended with a 1-0 loss to Minnesota, and then they lost their first They lost by their first two-goal margin since before they fired Siggy Schmidt.
Oh, so, my God.
To Sporting Kansas City. The last time the Sounders lost by two-goal margin at home.
Yeah.
The last time that the Sounders lost by two goals at home was the game before they fired Siggy Schmidt.
Oh, my God.
Schmidt's out!
How
I'm
dare
obviously
you?
Joking. I'm obviously yeah, joking.
Wow, that's... Okay, well, that's a lot that I missed. And I don't know... Austin FC, I'm not following them literally at all. I know that they lost one time to Seattle Sounders FC now. But does it say more about our teens or about Austin FC losing to the teens? Like, which is the bigger statement?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, if you go back and like look at the energy online and on the field and just in the clubhouse after that match, when everybody was just shocked that the Sounders were able to pull it off. I mean, they literally started five teenagers, the second youngest starting 11 in MLS history, the first time an MLS team had started with five teenagers on the field. So it was obvious, like the Sounders go into this, you know, most of us expecting like, hey, we'll see how this goes. Maybe they'll tie, right? After the first 15 minutes, they really started to get it together, and Austin did have a lot of possession, but ended up just like crapping the bed. And the five teenagers, who have only not been crapping the bed for a few years, were able to pull it off. And then, I mean, obviously, Raul Ruiz Diaz, if you haven't seen the goal, which everybody's seen it at this point, scored a worldie from half court. So, almost half court, I should say. So, anyway, like, it should have been a 0-0. The Sounders could have been, you know, down by a goal, but for a Raul Ruiz Diaz stunning, you know, half field lob over the keeper, it would have ended as a draw. But the Sounders walk away with result.
I text you to be like, well, I haven't seen anything about the match, but I did see the Raul Ruiz Diaz part. You're like, that's all you needed to see. But I'm like, cool. And I literally did not consume any more content. I watched the Raul Ruiz Diaz goal three times on repeat or whatever. It was like, okay, I get it. Moving on.
The teenagers did amazing, I should say. Like, it's not like they just filled in and were, you know, bodies. Like, they actually played well. Josh Atencio had an amazing game. Ethan Dabalair had a standout breakout game. Like, he did an amazing job. His passing was great. Adeniran or the other guy who is not a teenager but came up from Tacoma Defiance looks amazing. It would be excited to see him on the Sounders roster more frequently as a forward, especially with a big guy like Will Bruin out right now. So anyway, I mean, it just goes to say that like if the Sounders can hold on to all of these guys, the future in these guys not just filling in but starting to serve more of a vital role to this club could be really nice.
I think I just noticed you mentioning that Will Bruin is out.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You missed that, too. So, Will Bruin. So, the Sounders injury generator has been going bananas. Okay. So, ever since the beginning of the season, obviously, Nico Lodero has been out.
Yeah. Who's that guy?
Yeah. Who knows? We did get a bit of an update from Garth Lagerwey, who said that, and Bryce Metzger, who both said that Fry might be back by fall. Nico Lodero might be back by very late summer / maybe early fall. Nuhu apparently can train and run like a train, but it is super healthy, except he gets hurt every time he kicks a ball. So it's a really straight, like they said, it's unlike any injury that they've ever seen on a Sounders player, which I'm like, okay, Nuhu can't play the game of soccer like a normal person. Like, we love him and he's amazing and he's good at it, but he also bicycle clicks at every third clearance.
Sure. Yeah.
Apparently he can't get injured like a normal soccer player. Like, he has to like invent a new injury.
It's all or nothing for her new Tolo.
he is anything but normal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we probably all knew that going into it though, huh?
Yeah. And then Will Bruin has been injured. Apparently he is close to coming back. He might be back by San Jose.
Jokes aside, I saw you tweet the thing out that was like, unplug the injury generator.
Yeah.
And it listed Will Bruin as out with meniscus surgery. And he's just going to come back from that? Like, hey, no big deal. It's fine. Yeah. It's just my knee that won't work ever again. What?
He's like, I'm only 57 years old. I'll be good.
57 years young, please.
Yeah, sorry. You know what? It's weird because I was recently looking at when they announced the Sounders roster against Austin, I put all of the Sounders ages into a spreadsheet, calculated the average age because I was so curious. As I was putting those ages in, I put in Joao Paulo's age because he was the oldest person on the field. And Joao Paulo, if you look at him, with the beard, he's got the sad,
I mean, he's been sailing at sea for at least a generation. Like, that guy has punched more fish to death than I've even eaten.
Yeah, that guy is in the Gladiator sequel, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
He is only 30 years old.
Oh, he's 30?
I, like, just turned 30 this year, and I was, like, looking into the mirror the other day. I was like, man, I'm going to start looking like an old guy soon. But for right now, I feel like I look like a young guy. Joao Paulo looks like an old guy for sure.
Yeah, Joao Paulo looks like he's seen some stuff, you know? Like, it's like he sees a penis snake, and he's like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you, penis snake. Where other people might run, you.
And when I beat the crap out of my penis snake, people...
Nope.
Hey, Brandon, turn off your Zoom. But the Sounders will be getting back. There's all sorts of player news, okay? So, first of all, Alex Roldan and Christian Roldan both playing in the Gold Cup. El Salvador gets bounced from the Gold Cup by Qatar, and now El Salvador has sent Christian.
How are those two teams playing each other? I don't understand how this works at all. But like
Qatar got an invite. It's kind of the same way that like the U.S. has gotten an invite to what is it, like the CONMEBOL tournament, right?
Okay, cool. So, that's a very simple explanation.
Copa America, yeah. So they get an invite to it because they are the champions of the Asian or Oceania or whatever, something like that. Confederation. So they get an invite so that the Gold Cup can fill out their like 16 or however many team, 24 team tournament, right? So anyway, so El Salvador gets bounced. Alex Roldan likely back for the San Jose game. Christian Roldan gets an assist in their quarterfinal game and is continuing with the U.S., so the Sounders will continue to play without him. Josh Atencio continues to step up into that role, most likely. Now, what's interesting, though, is that we are firmly within the summer transfer window.
Yeah.
For the Sounders are free to sign players. They are free to make trades, etc. There's been a lot of rumors on the rumor mill saying that the Sounders are close, have been close to signing a Brazilian striker named Wesley. Now, we'll get to the transfer talk in a second.
Yeah.
I feel like every time, like, I feel like with a lot of these Brazilian strikers, it's always like you expect them to have a name like Ronaldinho.
Ronaldo in there for sure.
Like, I feel like we have Joao Paulo, which is a pretty good Brazilian name.
Yeah.
But Wesley just feels like the Sounders could be like, we're signing Brazilian striker Arthur.
but here it is, though. Is the guy a person of color?
Yes, I think
so. I feel like this is one of those super unfortunate things where some, like, I have no context for this other than what you've literally just told me, but it feels like it could be pretty scumbaggish where, you know, settlers from the Englands, whatever you call that, came and set up some plantations, and now you have a black guy with a very
American,
like, English name.
Yeah, or like, anglicized name, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, you do end up with a lot of like Arthur, you know, being Arthur, you know. But I was just like, Wesley just sounds like an old man name. Like, the Sounders are signing 77-year-old Otis.
Breaking news from Nico Moreno. This is from his Twitter, El Orolo Northwest, or NW rather.
Which he's an amazing source for transfer talk for the Sounders and actually in general on MLS.
And he has this all beat because he's multilingual also, so he can dig into some more details that maybe we would just glance over, which we would anyway, even if we could. He said that he's told negotiations between Sounders and Palmeiras, I don't know if I'm saying that right, are winding down without a resolution. Wesley transfer, not going to happen.
So apparently Wesley's this good, right? Like he, for Palmeiras, he is their, I wouldn't say the talisman. He's not Raul Ruiz Diaz, but he's somebody who they highly value. The Sounders coming in with their transfer offer were something like $4 million short of what Palmeiras wanted.
Yeah.
If the Sounders had signed him, it would have been a record signing fee for the Seattle Sounders. So unless they think he's the next Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Yeah.
Or Nico Ladero,
yeah.
Likely not going to bump that offer up another $4 million. So it would be good to see the Sounders get some reinforcements in, given the depletion that they've been facing this year. However, the striker position is pretty good right now.
Especially with that, speaking of bicycle kicks earlier, that Freddie Montero attempt on Sporking was pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah, it was amazing. He, of course, the Sounders go on to lose 3-1, but Freddie Montero had an amazing attempt at goal, which would have been amazing to see going, because we've talked about how that Freddie Montero does need to get some goals.
Yeah.
That, he did tie the record during that match, or he actually set the record. He's the first Sounders player to 50 goals in his career. I imagine that Raul Ruiz Diaz, if he stays with the Sounders for another season, will hit that as well.
Yeah.
But if Freddie Montero keeps scoring, you know, he's going to try to hold on to that. Freddie Montero will be 77 years old seeing some, like, you know, person who is not even born yet hitting that 50 goal mark and coming back and putting on the Sounders jersey and being like, let me show you something.
How old did you think he was going to be?
77?
69.
60. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
I want to go back to something you just touched on. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong about this. The Gold Cup that's sapping away the contest that's stealing the Roldans from us. Last time that happened was 2016. Sounders had a dreadful like June and July. It was really, the train was coming off the tracks. I believe that's when Ziggy got fired that last time at home, where they lost by 2 goals or more, and Schmetz took over the team and took them to their first MLS Cup. So anyone who's in full panic mode right now after the best start ever for an MLS club, seeing a few results that aren't coming together, maybe a lot of draws leading up to that, chill. This is like a really tough time for the club.
It was also that summer that Nico Ladero signed for the Sounders and started playing. So a lot changed in that 2016 summer. And let's hope that when our players come back from the Gold Cup and really most importantly our players start coming off of that injury list, the Sounders are going to look very scary going into the final stretch of the season.
As we've talked since day one, great, the wins up front are great, but you have to be able to late August really be switching on. I believe match 17 is this weekend, and that'll take us to the halfway point. So there's still a whole half of a season to go. That's a Saturday 2 p.m. match that's happening at Lumen Field. That's so a couple bad results. Let's get them out of the way now, and let's watch the team rebuild for September and October.
Halfway into the season, the Sounders, even with those two losses in the last week, are still second in the Supporters Shield standings in MLS, only a couple points or maybe even just 1 point behind New England Revolution in the Eastern Conference. So
and top of the West.
Yeah, and so getting, yeah, top of the West by a couple points to Sporting Kansas City, who I think has a game in hand.
Yeah.
But that is to say that all of those wins and results that the Sounders were able to pick up without all of those guys at the beginning of the season are going to set them up, hopefully, for reinforcements coming back to hold on to that that cushion that they've been able to build on that second half of the season.
Do you legitimately think we'll see Ladero this season?
I don't know. I mean, the team seems like Lagerwey and Schmetzer both seem pretty confident. I mean, obviously trying to pump the brakes a little bit on people's expectations, saying like late summer, possibly early fall for Ladero to come back. I don't know the severity of his injury because they haven't been super forthcoming with it.
Yeah.
But if they're saying that, we have no reason not to believe them.
Yeah, sure. I don't have my hopes up. He was supposed to be back in a couple of matches at the start there and then had some setbacks. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got some needles in there and stuff and started having to dig around a little bit. I don't know how well they could hide that or not. But it seems like suddenly there was like a big obstacle, a big, you know, 3-month, 4-month setback. And Well, it kind of lines up with having to recover from some sort of little operation or tinkering or something. So.
Yeah. I mean, my bigger concern is about Stephen Fry, who had a blood clot. Like, you have to take that so seriously.
I've had a blood clot. Yeah. It's awful. It's like a, it's, I think I've said this before on this podcast, but I had to give myself a bunch of injections in the stomach, and I was in a bathroom at SeaTac crying because I had to, like, I'm not a needle guy.
I'm not laughing at, I am laughing at it. Who am I kidding?
Every time, like the first few, I'm like, okay, it'll get better. And just like the further it went, like the, you know, you do it for 7 days, twice a day or whatever. And it's just awful. And then you have to like, that, people probably don't know a lot about blood clots, a DVT or whatever. You end up having to get on a blood thinner and they have to get it dialed in just right. So every week you have to go in and get the finger prick to do the blood test to make sure that you're in this window of having your blood thin, but not too thin. So the blood clot can break up or whatever, and it's a 6-month process that you have to deal with it.
Talking about finger pricks, we haven't even mentioned the fact that Jordan Morris has been out injured, but both him and Stephen Fry are back into training, starting to just get some fitness back in, right? Yeah. So it's that's good to see. Jordan Morris is another one of those reinforcements to come in. The second thing is that I didn't know that Stephen Fry's treatment included him having to go to SeaTac crying in a stall, injecting himself in the stomach.
Well, there you go. If you had to take, of the last three matches, the most important player for Seattle in July, it's your slapping it together man of the match. Who do you choose?
Raul Ruiz Diaz, by far. This team has been good. Or maybe even Joao Paulo. So I'd say that those two, and then down the list, far, is the rest of the team. They've all been playing great. Yamar has been awesome. He's in my opinion, MLS best 11 this season. So are Joao Paulo. So is Raul Ruiz Diaz. But without Ruiz Diaz being able to finish the way that he does and trying the stuff that he does, and without Joao Paulo being the only person over 20 in the midfield able to, like, you know, have any sense of responsibility to be able to control things, this team isn't anywhere near where it is, given the depletion in the roster that it's had. So I would say either Raul Ruiz Diaz, Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Get that on the back of a jersey.
So Raul Ruiz Diaz and Joao Paulo to me are you know, interchangeable as far as the most important player.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because there's a bunch of individual efforts being put together there, and Madranda could probably get a nod there as well,
totally.
I would say.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, before we move on, did somebody else get a shot at playing goalkeeper in one of these matches?
Yeah, actually, good call. So the Sounders now have used 4 different people in goal this year, including Alex Roldan. And 4 people have a shutout now. So Stephen Fry, Alex Roldan, Stephen Cleveland, who's been filling in most frequently for Stephen Fry, and in the match against Austin, Spencer Ritchie, who is a Seattle native, went to UW. And started at FC Cincinnati in their inaugural season, played for the Whitecaps for a little bit. The Sounders picked him up in the offseason, and he's mostly been riding the bench. And I almost said that's why I almost said that on accident. And he comes in and gets a shutout. So 4 different players on the Sounders roster now have shutouts. Congrats to Spencer Ritchie on that in his Sounders debut. Spencer probably trying to get a little bit of rotation, trying to, you know, if there's an Open Cup, which I don't know if there's going to be, but they are going into the Campeones Cup, which is this made-up tournament, which the Sounders will be playing in. For some reason. So maybe Spencer Ritchie sees some time in that while Stephen Cleveland still serves as the number one during the regular season.
That's cool to hear that someone else got a shot. That's funny, 4 different keepers with a shutout. Somebody tweeted that at me, and I was like, yeah, I did not know what they were talking about.
if they do play in the Campeones Cup and the Gold Cup and then something like the Desert Diamond Cup, I swear to God, I hope Brian Schmetzer puts Alex Roldan in for a match.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
All right, Seattle Sounders FC back in action Saturday, 2 p.m. Jan Jose comes to Lumen Field. These teams last met up on an amazing night for the Super Roldan brothers, one with a goal, the other keeping goals out for a clean sheet.
Yeah, speaking of Alex Roldan and goal, the last time these teams faced was when Stefan Fry did go out with that injury. The Sounders were out of subs. They had to put a field player in, and Christian Roldan volunteered his brother.
I forgot about that. That's amazing. Hey, put on the jersey. You're getting in there. He's like, what? What?
This jersey doesn't say Razal Gouli Diaz, though.
I like how that's like not Gouli Diaz, it's Gouli. So it sounds like it's like a ghost. It's like the ghost of Razal Gouli Diaz.
Yeah, but Peruvian.
How do you say specter in Spanish?
Peruvian Batman seems awesome. His bat, the Bruce Wayne in Peru is like Wesley Wayne.
I'm dead.
Just like Wesley Wayne's parents.
He was raised by his grandparents.
They
dead too.
Yeah. Okay.
What's Alfredo? Is the yeah.
Instead of the penguin, it's the guinea pig.
No, but I want it to be, someone's going to get mad at me. I want it to be Alfreda, because I want it to be like the real tough woman that raises Peruvian Batman. I want it to be, flip the genders on there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we ask the question here on the sheet every week, why are they good about the opposition coming to town? Why are they good? They aren't. This team is 11th in the West, 3-7-5, which also means that I am terrified for the performance that the Sounders will deliver on Saturday afternoon, specifically since I'm going to be there to suffer through it.
Are you taking your kid again?
I actually don't know. My buddy who I shared the tickets with, shout outs to Brian, he hit me up to be like, hey, we're going to this one? And he was like, you in for, and then sure, okay, yeah, I'm in. But like, I think he's out of town, and so I really don't have any clue. Plus, 2 o'clock is his nap time, and he's such a dick if he doesn't nap. So it's like,
are we still talking about Brian?
Yeah, he's okay, such cool. A no. Yeah, my kid's nap time. To be clear, bring his nutcracker with us.
It's hard. I mean, you go into a match. The Sounders go into a match against Jan Jose, and Jan Jose being very bad this season, only 3 wins this year.
Yeah.
We talked about this as they went into the match against Vancouver or even the match against Austin that was very bad. You worry that the Sounders are going to go through a trap game, right? Where this, like, you go into it feeling confident. However, I don't feel like the Sounders are in that position at the moment because they've come off of 2 losses out of their last 3 and because the roster is so depleted. I don't think any game can really be considered a trap game where you feel so comfortable and so confident that you take it too easy, because the Sounders just don't have that liberty, or I don't think they have that mentality right now given where they've been over the last few weeks, right?
Sure.
So that doesn't mean that I don't think a crappy team like Jan Jose can pull off a result.
And Wanda's always got the number, you know?
He always gets up for these Sounders matches, and they have players like Cade Cowell, who's a young guy who's come through and has been pretty good, and I'm pretty sure tore up the Sounders' defense the last time that they played, despite not being able to get a goal. So, I could see this game being very difficult for the Sounders.
And also not being able to score on a field player, but no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'm trying to think what the game was that we were, you specifically were so confident that the Sounders would not fall, be susceptible to a trap game like that, and then they ended up leaving points on the field. I can't. It was a.
I think it was the Whitecaps match, to be honest.
Well, whatever it was, yeah. I remember feeling that way before, and we learned our lesson. Yeah, 2-2 Sounders versus Whitecaps back in June. So, yeah.
So,
These types of matches always worry me. I'm always worried about Jan Jose. Sometimes you win 7-0 or 1 or whatever, and sometimes you lose 1-0 on an 89th minute Wondolowski goal, you know?
Yeah. So actually, now that I remember that Whitecaps game was the first match that the Sounders have given up a goal from the run of play. So that did end up kind of being the trap game that I didn't think it would. Now, Jan Jose is bad, but they come into this match having two red cards in their last two matches. And they are, while they're bad, they are also unbeaten in their last four matches. So those four are four draws. They still only have three wins on the season. Those draws were 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, and 2-2. So they're very committed to not raising or lowering their goal differential.
But that's really interesting because they have seven losses on the season, and that means they've stopped that bleeding to some degree. Like, whatever that was happening, they're at least righting the ship a little bit, and they're scoring at least a goal a game. So you got to think that there's potential for them to be able to take apart a young Sounders squad, specifically with your Shane O'Neill being hurt. Hopefully, is he back or is he still out?
Shane O'Neill made his comeback against Kansas City over the weekend. So
okay, good. So maybe a little bit fresher this time with a few days off and whatnot. Yeah. So yeah, Jan Jose always going to be problematic.
Arriaga, I will say that the Sounders defense thankfully has been the solid spot for the Sounders this year, right? And that said, in the last couple of matches, Arriaga has looked like an absolute liability. So having Shane O'Neill come back at this moment might give some time for the Sounders, or it might give them some options to maybe bench Arriaga for a little bit until he can kind of get it together.
All right, take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball, Brandon. It's swirling around. It's telling you it's going to be hot on Saturday at Lumen Field, a heat wave once again returning to the state of Western Washington.
And Eastern Washington, the state of Liberty.
It's all the time there, full time there. Anyway, the Sounders, 2 p.m., that's about peak heat if you're going to have a soccer match outside, which they are against Jan Jose. Lumen Field, take a look at that Crystal Pepsi ball and tell us what you see.
Well, I see because Rizal Guly-Diaz didn't get a goal in the match against Kansas City. I am going to say that he's going to go ahead and get one in this one because the dude can't stop scoring. Well, apparently he did stop scoring last week. The dude can't stop wanting to score. So I'm going to give the Sounders a 2-0 win. Will Bruin making his triumphant comeback with a header for the Sounders' second goal.
Okay, that seems about right. I would have seen it that way too. I think I'm going to go less optimistic, my theme for this season. I'm going to say 1-0 Sounders. And so there's going to be kind of like a kind of crap goal that happens at some point, maybe real early, and then a boring stalemate from there on out or something like that. Real exciting start with a real slow burn after that.
Perfect.
1-0.
Yeah. And I just hope that Alex Roldan remembers just because it's San Jose doesn't mean you can use your hands.
In case this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen, it's Too Long Didn't Listen.
Too Long Didn't Listen.
At least we're not playing in Florida. You don't have to worry about freaky penis snakes.
But if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely do.
Yeah. Just wanted to bring that back up.
Yeah. Too Long Didn't Listen.
That kid is going to be looking for Stefan Fry by knocking on SeaTac bathroom stalls.
Just listen for the whimpering.
Hey, Too Long Didn't Listen.
Rizal Guly-Diaz.
Hot rubbish. Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.